92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Interesting article I read in the Gold Coast Bully today, and I just sympathise with anyone who also has had this disease. Well, you don't ever get rid of this disease. Yet once you have it, you've got it forever. It's like herpes, Margo. You can't shake it. You never ever get rid of it, and it's Ross River Fever.
Right.
And the reason why I'm so I can see the importance of it is a couple of years ago. Got struck down with an illness and I had no idea what it was. I thought I had cancer. Mm-hmm. I genuinely thought I was dying. I could not walk up the stairs.
Wow.
I had no energy whatsoever. I couldn't put a T-shirt on. I was hurting that badly.
Knocked you on your butt.
And it took two lots of blood tests, but eventually I found out, they go, mate, you got Ross River Fever. And I went, what the bloody hell's that? And of all things, it comes from mosquitoes. And we've got a bit of an infestation happening here at the moment on the Gold Coast with mosquitoes, and they carry Ross River Fever. And Mayor Tom Tate is waging war against the Mozzies, and I'm all for it. And he joins us right now. Tom, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Oh, hi, Luke and Marco, mate. I'm good. When we talk about mosquitoes, we've got to fight them on the ground, fight them in the swamp, fight them in the air, and fight them on the beaches. And I will kill them all.
We've got to hit them high, hit them low, hit them with the old P-bow. That's what we need to do.
We're out there in force. We had to wait till the weather died down a bit before we really go for it. I put $2 million of budget aside.
Did you?
And, because really, if you leave them alone, they breed like anything. And with ex-tropical cyclone Omar, there's so many potholes and water and it's left a plethora of breeding ground. So we got to go after them, mate.
How are you going to spend your $2 million on ridding the Mozzies, Tom?
More team.
Well, it's a more team with muscle, mate. and what we do on here is that different ways. We spray them, and we've got a smoker machine on the ground, and literally different ways of treating. And we're starting from the northern part of the city. That's where I know that they're biting the hardest. I remember training, playing a bit of rugby. You're wearing your Guernsey, and I don't know about these mosquitoes there. They bit you through the Guernsey.
Yeah, they're big.
I've taken a photo of one bigger than it's as big as a 5-cent piece, Tom.
No, it is. It is.
I've got a photo. I'm going to pop it up on our Luke and Margot page.
Right.
What areas are the most affected here on the coast?
Can
Tom?
I tell you? I'll tell you one area, Mayor, and it's the Spit. On Wednesday mornings, I have a running group. We meet at the Southport Surf Lifesaving Club. We run up through the Spit. And on the other day, they took a photo of my back, and I had about 20 of them on my back. They're everywhere in the bushland up
Blood
there.
Bloodsuckers.
Yeah, and they're all over the shop at the moment.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of green protesters there, so I'm going to leave them alone there.
I'd rather put up with the Mozzies.
let the greenies get Ross River fever. Has there been any stats about Ross River increasing here on the coast?
No, it's not increasing because we're absolutely spraying it annually.
Right.
This time round, they're out in the in plague proportions.
Right.
We've got a lot of phone calls coming in, so I said, well, in that case, we better get out there and earlier.
Yep.
And do it for longer. So,
hey, good on you, Mayor. You're doing a good job. Get stuck into those Mozzies. We hate them.
Rid of them.
Okay, yeah. Mate. I'll give them the L1 too.
Give them the 1-2. Yep, I love it. Fight them on the beaches. What do you say? Fight them on the swamps, whatever. Get in amongst them. Winston Churchill, otherwise known as Tom Tate, joining us there, the Mayor of the Gold Coast.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I was watching the TV this morning and I was just yelling at the TV. I was like, oh, we're getting so politically correct now. This is getting ridiculous. So
got you riled up, Luke.
It did. It got me riled up because it just seems so fake and contrived to me. And what it was Richard Wilkins and Sonia Kruger are on the show straight after the Today Show. I think it's called Today Extra.
Today Extra.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, they're sitting there and they're talking about a bit of politics and they're talking about Julie Bishop. And so Julie Bishop is, you know, resigning at the next election. So she has resigned. She's not contesting the next election. And so they're talking about the state of politics in the country. And then right at the very end of the discussion, Sonia Kruger asks Julie Bishop this question.
What will you be wearing?
Oh, Sonia,
well,
that's
I'm irrelevant. Interested. I'm interested. I like fashion.
Yeah. Well, she'll be wearing something fabulous, clearly.
So Richard Wilkins crosses his arms and he's like, that's irrelevant, don't you? Oh, you don't ask. Who cares what she's wearing? And I'm like, didn't you make a living out of doing that? Haven't you sat on every red carpet? Every Academy Awards for the last 20 years asking actresses and actors, well, who are you wearing? Is that a Versace? Am I crazy or is that what Richard Wilkins has done for 20 years?
It was a little bit hypocritical. And in all fairness, Sonia Kruger, Julie Bishop was on the show talking, representing Witchery, a fashion label, talking about their white shirt campaign, which raises awareness for ovarian cancer. And so she was on there talking about fashion. And then Julie Bishop was photographed last week in Parliament wearing this fabulous blue sequin dress, you know, at her resignation. And so she's been a fashion icon in politics. She is our Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, don't go that far.
She is. Julie Bishop looks amazing.
Mate, that's John Howard's our Julie, our Audrey Hepburn.
Like a fashion icon, and she loves fashion. And so I felt it was a fair question for Sonia to ask. And I think, like you said, Richard Wilkins is being a little bit precious.
Well, you know what? And then, so I came up with this idea. I go, hey, can we go? I said to our producer, Jeremy, I go and find all of this audio. Get all this audio of Richard Wilkins asking the exact same question to every Hollywood starlet over the last 20 years, and we'll montage it up and we'll be able to point out the hypocrisy.
Mm.
Meantime, Brixie and Jeremy have been searching high and low, and it turns out you can't find anything. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he hasn't been asking that question for 20 years, and I've just got a perception that he has. What have you been doing, Brixie? You couldn't find anything, could you?
Well, not so much I couldn't find him asking the question. I just couldn't find the red carpet interviews.
Oh, okay.
There was no red carpet interviews.
None.
Right.
But in the last couple of years, Luke, I actually then went and researched something that you mentioned because you said they're not allowed to ask it anymore.
No, it became politically incorrect.
And they moved away from it. I didn't realise this.
No, it became politically incorrect a couple of years ago to ask actresses, who are you wearing? Because it's like, oh, mate, there's so much more than a fashion, you know.
And it came after the Me Too movement as well.
Yeah, so don't ask that question. Ask them what they're working on or what their motivation for their character was. But I'm telling you, my gut feel is Richard Wilkins has asked that exact question.
What are you wearing?
A million million times. What's going on? How precious are we getting,
Margo?
So
righteous. And he sat there with his arms crossed back in his chair and like, oh, Sonia.
Didn't he go out with Colette? He belittled her
on national TV.
Didn't he go out with Colette Dinigan?
Yeah. Who's an Australian fashion designer.
I've got to speak to the nation here. I know the whole country is listening, Margo. It's time for Australia to grow a set, quite frankly.
Yeah.
We're getting too precious.
Too precious.
We're way too... We're becoming a nation of pussies.
Yeah.
You won't be able to ask anything.
Sissies.
Oh, don't ask
Mummy's
her.
Boys.
Don't ask her how she's feeling. That's a bit personal, Sonia. Don't ask her how she's going. Don't ask her what the time is. You might offend her. Hey, we have got $950 to give away. That's my speech is wrapped up, Brixie. My talk to the nation has wrapped up, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Last night, Margo, when I'm waiting to do the news on Channel 9 Gold Coast, I got my little earpiece in and I was sitting there going, what the hell is going on at the Gold Coast Titans? Because Dominique Loudon had done a story about the fact that the boys at training now are being ordered to hug one another by Coach Brennan.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Gareth Brennan is saying, oh, okay, you got to hug each other after every play.
Okay.
And then
it's like bonding.
Well, have a listen. This is a bit of the story last night.
Sweaty players usually try to avoid embraces after sessions, not this lot. The coach ordering them to cuddle to keep the mood positive. Bryce Cartwright became accustomed to Garth Brennan's touchy-feely approach at Penrith.
Plenty of coaches in the 20s used to make us walk around the field holding hands after training, so it's a bit different than that, but I hope he doesn't get us doing that.
I was laughing. Honestly, they came to me to do the weather straight after, and I was still smiling at the thought of, like, you know, these footy players walking around holding hands.
Holding hands and hugging each other. It seems to be a new wave of training and bonding that some of these coaches are seeing to implement.
Well,
now
let's find out from the horse's mouth. Gareth Brennan, coach of the Gold Coast Titans, joining us right now. Hey, Garth, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Hi, Luke. Hi, Margo. That's pretty funny. Yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
What's the go? What's happening with our boys?
Hugging hippies.
Basically, I'm just seeing how much they really like each other. You know, if they cuddle each other, obviously there's a bit of man love going on and they're tight and they're liking each other. If they're not willing to cuddle each other, then I just want to make sure that everything's okay from the boys, that's all.
So it's as simple as that. You're trying to just get a good team unity together by the guys cuddling one another throughout the course of training.
Yeah, it's not just during the course of training. It's at the end of the session, and it's just a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh.
Right. You know,
a bit of an icebreaker.
Yeah, that's right. Just to get a bit of a good mood around the place. Obviously, where their results haven't been real good so far this year. Not in saying that our effort and our training have been fantastic, and the boys get on really well. And it was just a bit of a light of the session, just to have a bit of a joke, a bit of a laugh, and get a bit of man laugh going.
And so, is it like going to be an occurrence at all training sessions now? And can we see it implemented a step further, like what Bryce was talking about, where they're going to be walking around the field holding hands at the end of training?
Well, I haven't thought that one out yet. I've used that before in the past, but, you know, just part of it is just to see whether they'll actually do it or not, you know?
Right.
more so than anything else. But look, if it means we get a win this weekend, we'll be cuddling after every session.
We'll cuddle too.
Garth, what does Mal think of it? Because they brought Mal in to help with, you know, culture. Is this a part of that?
No, I don't think Mal's done the cuddling bit before, you know. But
as a big man to cuddle.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, maybe I need to cuddle up to him and get a cuddle off Mal every now and then. But I don't think it's part of Mal's cultural thing. It's probably my little bit of weird sense of humour just to see, one, whether the boys will do it and have a bit of a laugh and a joke after a tough training session.
There is something in it, though, Luke, because they say when you hug somebody, it releases endorphins and serotonin in the brain. So it's actually a really good thing to hug it out. Don't you feel good after having a big hug? We have a little hug in here every now and then.
Hey, Garth, what about this? Instead of shaking hands with the opposition at the start of the game, let's hug them.
Yeah.
And then they might not want to go as hard.
No.
Well, that's right. And I think, what the hell's going on with these guys? But, I say after every session, the boys give each other a high five and stuff after every training session. So I just thought I'd take it a little bit further and bring in the man hug. That was all that was.
Good on you. Good on you. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I know we haven't had a great start to the season, but it's a long season, and I reckon we're in bloody good hands under you, Garth. On you, mate, and thanks for your time this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
No worries, Luke. No worries, Margot. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, Garth Brennan, coach of the Gold Coast Titans.
Taking on the Panthers on Friday night, Luke.
Yeah, get along and support them. And we should open the phones, 13 27 10, because just forget about a rugby league, a team. We can't relate to that. But in workplaces around the Gold Coast, I wonder if any management have brought in any weird rules like that, where you've got to hug Margot, or if there's any sort of things like that, any weird
Do you mean like bonding stuff?
Bonding.
Well, we have it here in our workplace where everybody plays board games.
Yes, we've got a board
game.
We've
got board games that bring people together in lunch breaks, and they spill off into different groups and they play a different board game each day, and it just, you know, gets you communicating and engaging with the people in your workplace. And not just talking about work-related issues.
In fact, no work gets done.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Luke, before I came a parent, I was one of those judgy single, you know, women that used to say, oh, when I become a mum, I'm never going to do that. And most of those things I've now done as a mother. And
yeah, I was like that.
Yeah, you see families out to dinner. Corey and I'd go out to dinner before we had kids, and you'd see families out to dinner and the kids would be on iPads, and I'm like, oh, when we have kids, we're never going, you know, like taking iPads out to dinner. We won't do that, you know?
I was like, Coralie will never sleep in our bed.
Yeah.
Two nights in. It was like, let her sleep in there then.
Yeah.
If she's going to cry, I didn't know she'd cry. Choke her in the bed.
Just let her in.
It's too easy to give in.
Well, now we don't go to dinner without the iPads being charged. Mm. And then we used to go to like events like the Echo or whatever, and you'd see those parents that have their kids on those leashes.
Oh, you didn't do that.
Like the monkey backpacks. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, that's cruel. You know, what are they, animals? No, they're children. You know, just hold on to your kid. Surely it's not that hard.
Do you do that?
Oh, look, I may or may not have bought a Peppa Pig backpack the other day, which may or may not have a leash attached to it.
I've never went that far.
I mean, I bought the backpack not knowing it had a leash, and then I found out it had a leash and went, yes.
No, that's awful. I mean, you got a kid, not a Labrador.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Our old mate Dobbo was telling me a story this morning, Margo, and I started just, oh God, I've been laughing about it ever since he told me. And it's with regards to, as I understand it, a couple of boys from Victoria come up here to the Gold Coast to have a holiday. They head out to Topgolf a couple of days ago, and they're having a few beers and having a good time at Topgolf.
It's a great day out there.
One thing leads to another, and I guess they're Brisbane Lions supporters in the AFL. Brisbane Lions have had a good start.
It's good that they've come from Adelaide and they like the Lions.
Melbourne, I think they come from. But anyway, whatever. They're Lions supporters. They're getting on the sauce. And one thing leads to another, and they decide that what would be a good idea is for them to go and get tattoos of the Brisbane Lions that say the Brisbane Lions emblem, and it says Brisbane Lions Premiers 2019.
Now, that the doesn't season, make sense. It's only just 2019 now.
The season's just started. The Lions have had a couple of good wins, but these boys are saying that they're so confident the Lions are going to get the premiership this
Beer
year.
Beer and tattoos, never a good idea.
And one of the boys, Jared, is joining us right now. Jared, how are you, mate? Welcome to the show.
How are you, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Mate, is the story that I heard correct? Did I get it pretty well summed up?
Yeah, spot on, mate. That's definitely true. Yeah, we came off a cricket trip on Friday and tucked in a couple of beers on Friday and decided we'd go out and get a tattoo on Friday night.
And why the Lions, Jared? And why premiers for 2019? Do you passionately believe that heavily that they're going to win?
I think they'll go close this year, yeah.
And what if they don't?
What happens?
I'll probably go to a tattoo parlour and get across the app. If they win in 2022, I'll just put 2022 on.
I've had a few. Yeah, I see it. Regrets, I've had a few. Okay, I get it. Is anyone regretting it at this stage, Jared?
Saturday morning when I woke up, there's a couple of regrets, yeah. And definitely a few.
Do you have a partner? What do they think?
The girlfriend was, she was doing best, no. She wasn't happy. She wasn't happy at all, so.
Where is it, Jared? Where's the tat?
It's on my top left leg. Up near my groin up there, so you can't really see it.
Why did you pick there?
Just so you couldn't see it.
So you could cover it.
How many of you boys got them?
So it's me, my younger brother, and another bloke.
Did the tattooist
did he scratch his head?
Did he try and talk you out of it at all, or was he just
he was all for it.
He was ready to take your money.
Oh, you look like geniuses.
Yeah. He's like, this is easy money.
If the Lions get up and win this year, your dead set look like geniuses. But
prediction.
It's a long way from home.
Hang on a second. Have you got any other tattoos, like, you know, Brisbane Lions Premiers 2018 floating around your body at all?
No, it's actually my first tattoo.
Is it really? Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
But it's
a good one.
I've had a few.
Don't worry, Jared. I regretted my first tattoo too. I got my name.
Oh, yeah. But
that's regrettable.
Unbelievable. That is regrettable. I mean, this is coming from Margo. To give you an indication of how bad your first tattoo is, where you got your own name tattooed on you, Jared, who got Brisbane Lions 2019 premiers, thinks yours is a bad decision. His judgment's not that sound, Margo. Knows yours is a bad call.
I reckon they'd both blow up the bogonometer, Luke.
Oh, fair dinkum. Hey, mate, can you send us a photo so we can have a bit of a laugh?
Can do, mate. Can do.
Rock on, brother. Thanks for your time, Jared. Enjoy your time here on the Gold Coast. There he goes, Jared. We should open the phones too, Margo. That's a good one. Jared and his mates have gone and got the Brisbane Lions Premiers 2019 tattoo.
There's always tattoo regrets.
Margo got her name, literally her name, tattooed on her foot.
Why?
We've heard it a million times. You wanted to get a tat and you couldn't think of anything up that you loved more than yourself, so you got your name tattooed on
No, that's not right.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I always love a story, a good story where someone is just putting their foot in their mouth without even knowing it. And Margo, I heard a good one about you today.
Did you?
And I'm not saying that I haven't been guilty of exactly what you've done today.
I always put my foot in it, even without, you know, meaning to.
Yeah, well, this is a good example. So, okay, what happened? In the Gold Coast Bulletin every day, they put in a photograph that a reader has entered. And today, there's an awful photo in the Gold Coast Bulletin.
It's a terrible photo of just blurred buildings in the background.
So, do you want to tell this story or do you want me to tell it, Margo?
You tell it.
Okay, because it's a classic. Margo gets the Gold Coast Bulletin today. She's flicking through. And when Margo reads the Gold Coast Bulletin, it's charming. It's as equally charming as it is annoying. Because you read aloud. Like,
I'm just trying to inform.
Producer Jeremy's in here. Brixie's in here. Can you guys back me up that when Margo reads an article, she reads it out loud and she includes everybody in what she's doing at that moment?
It's like an interpretive dance as well as she's doing it. Arm movements
I actually switch off and I start.
So do
my brain just goes.
Not only that, once you've got the general gist of the article that she's reading, she just continues. Like, she just keeps ploughing through 5 minutes, 10 minutes too long.
I'm just trying to display knowledge.
It's like the extended version of the news.
Yeah. I was like, Peter, 35, who hails from Bigger and Water. Like, we don't care. So when she reads the paper, everybody reads the paper. So Margot's reading the paper and she flicks over to the reader's photo and she says out loud, she goes, "This is an awful photo. This photo sucks. Why did they put this photo in? It's awful. This photo's terrible."
Not a very good photographer.
And then Andy, who also works here at Gold 92.5, pipes up. "That's my photo. I entered it." I sent the photo in. And Margo, you obviously didn't know that Andy, who works here at Gold 92.5, had sent that photo in. You had no idea.
Clearly not. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it out loud. But poor Andy. Can I explain what's happened here?
Shame on you.
Shame.
Andy was also upset by the photo because he took a beautiful photo of the beach and he had captured it Main Beach Sands and he sent it in and they pretty much chopped 3/4 of the photo to fit it in to the section of the paper where they put it.
They cropped all of the good part of the photo and kept all of the bad part of it. Cropped
the best bit out. And so when I said, "Let me see the original photo." So he showed me the original photo and it's actually a really beautiful photo of the sands and you can see all the grain and the shadowing and it's really beautiful. But the Gold Coast Bulletin, shame on you, of all people, because they've cropped out 3/4 of the best part of the picture.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
How about this for a story? I got a feel for our next guest. Steve Wiggins, his name is. He runs an op shop in Southport and he sold a cushion, I think it was, like a pillow or something, Margo, and it was only worth $5, but there was something valuable that was inside the actual cushion. Steve's joining us now. How are you, mate? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, I'm good, thanks, and you?
Good, mate. Good. So tell us the story. What happened?
Yeah, so we had a customer come up Wednesday 2 weeks ago and $4 cushion, actually not even $5.
$4, all right.
And as they were about to pay for it, they said, "Oh, it feels like there's something, you know, solid in the corner of it." And one of the girls at the counter sort of had a bit of a squeeze and sure enough, something felt a little bit wrong for a cushion and they unpicked it and out came this 1929-30 gold chain and medallion that was inscribed to, you know, a gentleman who had won it for the best shot over 300, 500 and 600 yards as part of the Boomai Rifle Club, which is west of Moree, as we found out later.
So what makes it so valuable, Steve? Because, you know, gold isn't really worth that much these days. Why is this worth so much?
How much is it worth, first of all, too?
Look, for a collector, it's probably worth somewhere in this in the vicinity of $5,000 as melted down value. Wow. Nowhere near that. But the reality is it's 15 carat gold, which is pretty rare and was a lot more common back in that era. Now it's usually 9 or 18 or 24 carat. So 15 carat makes it more valuable. And the Edwardian period makes it of value to a collector as well.
And so did this person that bought the $4 cushion get to keep the necklace, or do you guys keep the necklace?
Well, they were very happy to hand it to the shop because, you know, they hadn't paid for the cushion at that stage. So, you know, as it came out, they were, you know, happy to let it go. So they're the real hero of the story, and we don't know who that customer is because I'd like to connect with them again. And yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
So what happens with this necklace now? Do you then try and find the family who it belongs to, or what do you do with it?
Yeah, that's right. We did. Once I realised the value of it, we thought it's not something that the shop wants to hang on to. And with the name inscribed on it, there's going to be some sentimental value attached. And, you know, is their family still alive? Obviously, the gentleman who won it wouldn't be. If he was, he'd be very old and a very good shooter at the age that he'd be now. But so we sort of started Googling the family, found out a lot about them just from the archive material on Google, and you know, sort of got a better idea of the family. I rung some friends in Moree who had gone to school with them, and we still hadn't really got a, you know, definitive lead. And I was mentioning it to, you know, our team of volunteers, which is 40 plus, you know, over the course of a week. And one of the ladies that was in here, it turns out that it was her father's uncle. So
no,
there was a distant relative, yeah. Which sort of makes sense because, you know, the family that's cleaned out the house has probably heard that she's working at this particular op shop and brought the stuff in there knowing that this lady worked here. And, you know, as it turned out, if we had have let the cushion go, if the customer hadn't have felt that there was something in there, then they would have had a windfall and would have had to work out whether they keep it or whether they tried to find the owner.
And Steve, is it correct? I read that the woman who had sewn it, her name was Patty, and mm-hmm. she owned the cushion and it was left to her, and she sewed it into the cushion so that she wouldn't forget it. But then she donated a heap of stuff to the op shop, the cushion being included, and she'd forgotten all about it.
That's right, Margot. And interestingly, she didn't even remember. She knew she'd done it, but she'd told her kids for the last few years. She said, and she's 88 years old, lovely, lovely lady. She said, look, when I go, turn the house upside down because there's a gold chain here somewhere of my dad's that is very valuable. And the kids were sort of arguing amongst themselves apparently and saying, oh yeah, sure mum, you've given it to one of us or one of our brothers or sisters and not told the rest of us, and you know, yeah.
Hey,
so
Steve,
they were sort of a bit,
mate, you're a bloody good bloke, mate. You are a really you're a good man, mate, and you're a humble man. You don't want to hear what I'm about to say, but I want to say it because you are a good man. Many people in your situation may have taken advantage of that and cashed in that for themselves. You've given it back. You've given a $5,000 necklace back to a family who it is invaluable to. It's worth a lot more to that family than any other person on earth because it's a relative of theirs that's passed on. And you're a bloody good man, mate, and it's an incredible story. And thanks for telling us the Savo.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. And I've got to say, I love you guys. I listen to you every afternoon. You have me in stitches, and especially Margot. She's not shy to come forward with how it really is.
We all know I'm the funny one.
Margot wouldn't have returned the necklace, by the way, Steve. Yeah. Just quietly, mate. Hey, you're a legend, mate. Thanks so much for your time.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
Luke, Harry Potter fans will be pleased to know that Daniel Radcliffe, old D-Rad, is in town in Australia. He's in Adelaide filming something, I'm not sure what, but he's been papped out on his balcony in his downtime, having a bit of a moment, just having a ciggy in his jocks.
Yeah, in his underpants.
In his underpants. And I was like, Daniel Radcliffe, how old is he? He's like 12, isn't he?
No.
Harry Potter.
He's like Nikki Webster, isn't he? Like Nikki Webster forever.
Forever is, young.
She's going to be a 12-year-old. I remember when Nikki Webster was getting married and I was like, who's the sicko that's marrying Nikki Webster? You're a sicko,
underage
mate.
Underage bride.
And meantime, she's 28 years of age, you know. So Daniel Radcliffe, he's probably 30 now, Margo.
Yeah, he's like 35.
And
so I was like, I'm not sure what I'm more offended by. The fact that Daniel Radcliffe, who was, you know, wee old little Harry Potter, smokes, or the fact that he wears terrible underwear.
Does his underwear hide his wand?
It did, actually.
It did.
Because there's so much fabric in his underwear that he wears those trunks, you know, like those little...
What your grandpa wears.
Tidy-whitey, boxer short type looking buck pants.
Now, we were talking about this off-air before the show today. Margot was having a crack at Daniel Radcliffe, or whatever his name is, Radcliffe. Is it Radcliffe?
Radcliffe.
And
just call him D-Rad.
I wear those boxer shorts.
Yeah, I'm appalled.
But mine aren't those tidy-whitey ones. Mine have got, like, cool designs on them.
Well, you weren't sure what they were, because I was saying, oh, you know, like the little bike pants. You said, well, what are these? And you whipped out your... took off your belt and your pants and you whipped them down and I said, what are they?
But you think the
they're bike pants with teddy bears on them, Luke.
I do. I'm a fully grown man. And
you're
I'm
a fully grown 8-year old.
And as Margot now knows because she saw me, I really mean fully grown. and you're saying on my underwear is embarrassing because
it's just not my preference. If I had a choice, like Corey's a briefs guy and I'm totally okay with that because I'm a briefs girl. Like if I want my man to wear briefs or trunks, I'm going to be picking briefs every time because trunks remind me of my 8-year-old son. He wears those little Bonds trunks or it reminds me of like a 65-year-old, you know, leather tanned skin European man on a beach in Ibiza or something
Hang
like that.
Hang on a second, Margo.
With his gold chains and his white chest hairs.
Breaking news, Brixie has actual audio of you when... you saw me and I got down to my underwear. Now, I've got to describe the underwear for you. I think my mother bought me these underpants for Christmas. And despite what Margot's saying, I maintain they're cool.
They're bike pants with a teddy bear on them, but they're all over them.
They're tight fitting and they've got, they do have teddy bears or something on them. that's me unzipping, obviously. But now Margot's reaction.
I couldn't believe how quickly you were happy to get your pants down, Luke.
Margo.
If that's all it takes. No wonder Fitchie's always got a smile on her face.
That's it for us. We're racking off out of here. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.